Welcome to the Clunatics Podcast. I'm Kurt Graves. We're only a few episodes away from the end of the first season of the Clunatics Podcast, and there's a topic we've been tiptoeing around in most of our episodes. Found family. TJ uses found families a lot in his writing. As his protagonists navigate their way through whatever obstacles TJ throws at them, they are inevitably surrounded by a group of friends that are confidants, support systems, and, in some cases, fellow soldiers fighting against approaching evil. So what is a found family? Here are Lisa and Shannon, who we met in previous episodes.
Found family, to me, are the family you choose, the tribe you find, the people in your life who accept you warts and all exactly as you are. People who, without you realising it, suddenly have a central role in your life and feel like a fuzzy blanket wrapped around you.
I have the most amazing group of friends from all over the globe. My husband calls them my cluster. And when I try to describe them to people, because I talk about all of them like they're in my life right now, and they are, but like the way that I talk about them, it sounds like they live in Indiana with me, and they absolutely don't.
Here's TJ talking about why found family is so important to him.
As I've said previously, I grew up in a very toxic household where being queer was pretty much the worst thing that you could possibly be. But this, of course, was growing up in rural Oregon, where everybody either lived on a farm or in a trailer. And the family my mother married into when I was 6 years old was ultimately bigoted, racist, misogynist, extraordinarily religious, and it was not conducive to a good childhood. So when I could get out of there, I did, and I haven't looked back. And I was then forced, along with my brother and sister, to make a family of my own, which is what I've done. And they're not, most of the people that I consider my family are not related to me in any way, shape, or form, but they are people that I consider to be more of a family than my actual flesh and blood, aside from my brother and sister, who are tremendous people and I love dearly.
And do you notice the found families that happen in TJ's books?
Yes, that's, I mean, come on. That's one of the best things about his books, because so many of us have faced the rejection from our blood family or do not have the happiest relationships with them. And the importance of found family is, it's everything.
My name is Susan Savage. I'm currently living in Cincinnati, Ohio, after having lived in Rochester, New York for 30 some odd years, raised my family there. You have to understand that I was married for 25 years to an alcoholic. It was very isolating. I didn't realize how bad it was until I was out from under it. And then I was very lonely for a couple of years. And then I found the Clunatics and just sort of, this is what it is.
For TJ, Shannon, Susan, and many others, found families are an escape from the toxic or dangerous environments they experienced at home. This is also the reality for many queer youths.
I'm Niall Biondi. I'm a marriage and family therapist, and right now I work in Boulder, Colorado. I'm transgender, and I work primarily with trans youth and young adults. I also work with people experiencing trauma and chronic pain.
Niall and I talked about how queer kids are more likely to be ostracized from family life. And even when they're not, there's still a connection that's lacking.
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, both that we are more often rejected by our families than other people, but also that even when we are not, there's just that longing for connection, that sense of, you know, I can relate to you and we have something in common. I think as queer people, we often don't have role models growing up, people to show us how to have relationships, how to, you know, just get along in the world that is sometimes cruel to us.
We'll discuss the importance of found families in queer lives more a little later. For now, I'd like to explore how forming close bonds outside a standard family unit is crucial, even when we might have some relationships within our families that are good.
I grew up in a northern suburb just north of Cincinnati. Typical suburban. I grew up in the 80s. So, you know, all of that in a fairly affluent area. I was coddled and cared for and loved. And so for me, it was a wonderful experience.
Here's Amy, who we first met in episode 9.
I mean, I love my family. They are lovely people. Nobody is a horrible person. I've not cut off from them at all. But we are completely, totally, utterly different people. I have nothing in common other than the fact that we're family. We're related by blood. But when you find those people that you can consider your brothers and your sisters that you would die for, and you meet them and you have them in your life and you know it's going to be forever, that you're going to be with these people and they're going to have your back and you're going to have theirs.
You know, and that's where the found family comes in, because there was one night last month when I was really down on myself because of the COVID and the shutdown. I had stopped going for my daily walk, and I'm really struggling with being here right now because I was here, came down here in November. Come for the winter, stay for the COVID.
Yeah. Oh, that's a tourism slogan that nobody will be using anytime soon.
Go for the winter, stay for the COVID. The longer I've been here, the more I miss my home in Rochester. I miss being a New Yorker. I miss some of the more progressive ideas. I miss being able to talk freely. I miss being able to be in my own space. I had a bad day with my parents because, you know, I was biting my tongue. And I reached out to one of the group chats and was like, help. I'm miserable. What do I do? And just getting different perspectives just really, really helped. It's some of them didn't get it, some of them, but it was also good to hear that, you know, that's not how I would handle it. You need to take care of your own self and you need to. And it was good to hear that. And it was also good to hear that, you know what, COVID's real. And if you were to take off and leave them stranded. So it was a very good support.
It has meant so much to me finding these people that first you connect on this weird level because you found this author with this really bizarre sense of humor who's also incredibly talented. And you bonded over that. And then from that, you just all opened up every aspect of your life and feel connected in a way that's... I've never felt connected to people like this ever in my life. I've always looked for it, but I've never found it, and now I have. So yay.
And these people are all, like, we're talking about people who are spread out all over the world.
Yes.
Like, you don't, there's nobody who's, like, physically, geographically close to you.
No one. No one at all.
People are all over the world. If I'm an insomniac at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's always somebody I can talk to.
They're in New Zealand and Australia and in the UK and across the United States and in Canada, and I love them all so much, and I talk to them all every day, and I cannot imagine my life without them in it.
And then with the power of the internet, we can all talk all day long throughout the day. It's awesome.
I speak to at least one, if not 20 clunatics every day, and I don't know what I'd do without them. I don't think I would have survived this with my mental health intact if it wasn't for the warmth, the generosity, the reaching out of clunatics and the outpouring of love that this community gives you.
Since you have found your found family, do you think it's changed your daily life in any way?
Yes, definitely, because I don't feel so alone. Just knowing there are people out there that I can talk to if I need them and that I'm there for them. Like, you know, I like helping people. I like feeling like I'm useful. And so it's nice to have people who come to me, but that I can also go to them. And I know that what we're going to talk about will be meaningful and helpful.
I love that. I love that notion of I like to be useful. Because, I mean, that's what a family is. It's not only what you get out of it, it's what you contribute.
Yeah. And I feel like I contribute something, which is, it's such a relief.
This all sounds great, but just like in a biological family, sometimes it can all be too much. And do you talk every day?
Oh, every day, all day long, throughout the day, there's just conversations happening because different people are up at different times of day. So you never know when you're going to get a huge, I'll be at work and I'll check my phone after 30 minutes and there's 197 messages in a group. Yeah. That's really, do you have to tag it so you can go back and read it later when you actually have time? So I spend like an hour a night catching up on everything if I've had to miss stuff during the day. So I don't want to miss out on it.
I feel like I was briefly added to one of those threads and I pieced out very quickly. I was like, I can't handle this. It's too much.
Yeah, no, it can cause a lot of anxiety. Well, and I've had times where I've had to mute them and I'm like, I can't do this right now. And then I come back.
I'm one of those people who, like, I can't look at my phone and see any of the little bubbles that say there's messages there. Like, I have to clear them out right away.
Yes, and you do.
And so that's why, like, that messenger feed, I was like, it's too much. I can't keep up. This is all I'll do. This is all I will do is just keep up with this message. So I was like, okay, I got to archive this. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
The Clunatics are certainly one example of a found family, and sometimes there are even family reunions. But we'll talk more about that next week. For now, I want to shift back to talking about found family as a saving grace for young queer people. Or, frankly, not so young queer people. I moved from my hometown a couple of years ago, and I miss my very close friend group as much, if not more, than my parents and brother. And the support of people who love and understand you is so crucial right now. Not just because COVID-19 has even the most introverted folks craving a hug, but because attitudes all around the world are shifting toward intolerance, nationalism, and hate. Here's David, who we met in episode 15.
So, you know, I didn't come out until I started college. I actually had just finished my freshman year. And threw my mom a surprise party for her 40th birthday, got drunk and came out. So up until that point, right, up until that point, I really kind of just hit it. I mean, I was in drama and I had my close friends, maybe two of them knew. And I actually had never even like thought of like found family or heard of it until I kind of started reading the books and meeting more gay people. I joined a gay fraternity and college for a little bit, and it was like a foreign concept. I had never really heard of that. Now it's actually kind of weird because now I've been out for 10 years and it's kind of going backwards. So like everybody was very supportive in the family then, and now it seems throughout the years it's kind of gone the opposite way, especially like the last 4 years. But what? So it's kind of found family has, I never realized how like special and important it was, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because I kind of am distancing myself from them, like my family, because of, you know, just kind of closed off, closed minds, I guess, you know.
I'm really curious to find out if you have any theories as to why you think it's actually gotten worse over time.
I mean, I have a very strong theory that I would attribute to the president, just kind of people not being tolerant of people who are different. It kind of seems like there is more of a, it's more acceptable now than it was 4 years ago to speak out about that and to be hateful and openly hateful, and not only openly hateful, but openly proud of being a hateful douchebag. So it kind of, and you know, I've noticed, I work in a rural area up in Butler. It's kind of similar to Johnstown, where it's very rural and more conservative, and they just, it's almost like a pride sticker of I'm an asshole and I hate people, you know. It just kind of seems to be coming out more and more.
Yeah, so maybe I guess I'm trying to think, maybe the people were always there, but now they're emboldened.
Yeah, now it's kind of out. They feel like it's okay to speak their hate because their president does it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, they're constantly seeing people just being hateful, and they think that's their constitutional right when it's, you shouldn't hate people.
Here's more of my conversation with therapist Niall Biondi.
I don't often use the terminology of found families or chosen families, but definitely, particularly when folks are just coming out, just encouraging them to find people who are in that same stage of coming out or identity development, as well as people who have kind of gotten through it already. Just people to help you feel normal, help you feel like, yes, you matter in the world and you can get through this. Yeah, I with my trans clients especially, who often don't know any other trans people when they come out, I think it's really crucial for their sense of belonging and sense of having hope for their futures to find other people who have been through it.
You said you don't use the terminology often, found family or chosen family. Is there a terminology that you use?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's not that I shy away from it for any reason. It's more just like, I guess I'll just tell them, like, you got to find your people, you know, like these queer kids that are struggling, that maybe feel like they don't fit in anywhere and maybe are getting bullied. Just like really reminding them, those are not your people. You are going to find your people, and maybe you haven't yet, but that doesn't mean they're not out there. And, you know, trying to help them learn how to care less about the bullies and the opinions of people who are giving them a hard time, and just looking for the other quirky kids who need friends, people who are kind to each other. And that's what I love about TJ's books. They all just have characters that are loving each other and supporting each other in their quirkiness and in their differences. It's just really refreshing.
Yeah. And it is another interesting, I think, parallel to what often happens in real life with queer people is, like, you may not even have that much in common with the other people who you find in your life, but it is just so reassuring to find somebody else who knows that part of your life,
right,
that you can form a connection with. Because, yeah, I mean, often TJ's found families are full of people who are very different, very diverse, and yet they get along. They have a common purpose.
Right. Yeah, you know? Totally.
In preparation for our conversation, Niall sent me a YouTube video titled Authenticity versus Attachment, and he references that video here. I'll include a link in the show notes for anyone who wants to check it out.
I mean, I was just thinking, you know, I sent you that little clip about attachment, which I think is very relevant to found families. Attachment just meaning, like, that is one of our basic needs to attach to a caregiver when we're young. And then another one of our basic needs is our need to be authentic, to be able to express ourselves and be who we are. And sometimes those things come into conflict when we have parents that are not accepting. And so I think finding chosen family is a way that we heal ourselves, maybe not always consciously, but the way that we let ourselves know, yes, relationships can be safe. There are going to be people in our lives who love us and who will take care of us, and who don't care how quirky or weird or, you know, not mainstream we are. And so, yeah, I think TJ's books bring that out, just that sense of, like, it's okay. We can find people to help us heal and to take care of us, and just the concept in general. I think it is sort of just this way we've subverted our culture and figured out how to heal ourselves and how to be okay.
We're all just human beings striving for a meaningful connection to others. And what that looks like and feels like is unique to everyone. Within our families, chosen, found, or biological, we love and support one another. We fight and forgive. We challenge each other to grow. We lift each other up. We share stories, hobbies, memories, and burdens. And our families become, I think, more than the sum of our parts. The Clunatics podcast is produced by Susanna Frigo, Louis Garcia, Angela Nolmone, Sita Rajasingham, Mia Skiberis, John Steiger, and me, This episode was written by John Steiger and me. Special thanks to our season sponsor, Chelsea Vrizweibelt. Make sure you're following the Clunatics podcast on social media. Join our Facebook group and find us on Instagram and Twitter using @ClunaticsPod. All episodes are now available on YouTube as well. If you want to support the podcast with a financial contribution, hit the donate button at clunaticspodcast.com. Your contributions for season one allowed us to make a $500 donation to the Trevor Project. Donations collected after July 1st, 2020 will be banked for a potential season two, and please include the name of a charity you think needs our support when you donate. We love the Trevor Project, but we'd like to spread the love. Additional information about the podcast, including episode transcripts and the Clune Speak Don't Be a Dictionary, is available at clunaticspodcast.com. You can find out more about me and my work at kirtreads.com. That's kirtreads.com. All music and sound effects heard in this episode are licensed by Storyblocks Audio.